Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 17th. In the year of our Lord, 2021, this is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. Then absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers. One of the great peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips is the checks and balances, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one faith-filled issue at a time. We got a lot of work to do to restore the republic, ladies and gentlemen. Today is a special day, I might shout out. Today is Constitution Day. September 17th, ladies and gentlemen, in the year of our Lord, 2021, we celebrate September 17th, 1787. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that is indeed Constitution Day. We'll talk about it in much more detail with Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio second hour. But I'm just telling you, we'd like to wish you a happy Constitution Day, big time. We're going to celebrate. Hope you celebrate all weekend long as well. All right, a quick recap of yesterday's show. We had Eldon Stahl with us. He's the field coordinator for the John Birch Society in my area, jbs.org, thenewamerican.com. Eldon Stahl doing a phenomenal job with us on your radio. And we also had Brian Russ, RussCoinAndGift.com on your radio doing a great job. We had an Honest Money Report update from Brian. We talked about Biden still has complete confidence in this whacked-out General Milley who literally absolutely... Well, in my humble opinion, committed treason, but he's innocent until proven guilty, but we need to investigate that big times. They say he alerted China to a possible report of an attack. Now, whether you agree with the attack or not, or the idea that there was going to be an attack or not, no matter what you believe, do our generals have rights to go behind our president's back and go to the Chinese, Communist Chinese Liberation Army leader and say, hey, let me give you, I'll give you a heads up. A criminal activity, ladies and gentlemen, my personal opinion. We talked about an Alaska state senator doing a great job. Her name is Laura Reinhold, and she's been excused from votes due to mask airline mandate. Anyway, they require masks. She won't wear one. They're saying, hey, you can't come on the airlines. She's saying, okay, then I need absentee voting capabilities. A big old battle going on. Her claim, and she's spot on right, constitutionally speaking, you know what? The federal government, through the president, can't mandate masks on airlines. First off, this airline is flying only in Alaska. It's not federal at all. And even if the president were right, he doesn't have authority over the states. But the problem is the president's in the wrong branch of government to make law in the first place. Congress has made no law, ladies and gentlemen. But even Congress doesn't have authority to make laws over the states like that. They're only responsible for the 10-mile square section of Washington District criminals. The states are sovereign, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, we talked about a coordinated ransomware attack, strikes 22 towns in Texas, and we talked about how it's just becoming a dog-eat-dog world out there, financially speaking. How do you ever know if a transaction is legitimate? It's very difficult. We talked about a Democrat strategist by the name of Douglas Schoen, declares his party will suffer a blowout defeat in 2022. Well, in a way, I pray that he's right. In a way, I don't like the partisan discussions here, as if the Republicans are going to do a whole lot better. They talk big, but when it comes to delivering, they don't get it done, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about an incredible report, rent prices in the Olympic state of Utah. Wow, out of control. Utah County, 66% increase since the pandemic began. Just out of control rent. How do people even survive? Don't know. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two, we talked about Biden moving to rejoin and ratify UN Gun Control Treaty. Peter Rakowski with that piece from The New American. Thousands of LAPD employees to seek religious exemptions from COVID-19 vaccines. Veronica K. Karolinko with that one. Think about that. Thousands of LAPD police wanting religious exemptions. They don't want to get vaxxed, folks. People don't want to get vaxxed. You got it? Los Angeles counting a mandate. COVID-19 vaccine passports, writes Jax Phillips. New York City on Monday started officially implementing its passport system. San Francisco last month also rolled out a vaccine passport mandate. Wow, it's out of control, folks. And now they're teaming that up with climate change. Listen up. Researchers propose a personal carbon allowance to fight climate change. Yeah, they want every human being on Earth to carry what they call a personal carbon allowance device. They want everybody to carry one of those in order to track an individual's carbon consumption. Anyway, the idea was, believe it or not, published in the Climate Equals Alarmist Journal of Nature Sustainability. I mean, these people are crazy. But they want to tie that climate change stuff to your vaccine status, to your social media credit status, all tied together with your driver's license, your birth certificate, and, well, of course, you got to have your health records because of COVID, don't you know? I mean, it's out of control, ladies and gentlemen. We're being driven by fear and lies. They say COVID hospitalization scam, now exposed by Newsmax's Lynchfield, or Stinchfield, I guess is how you say it. Anyway, Ben Armstrong with The New American brought that to my attention. Great article. Great video, I should say. Also, leaked Zoom video now reveals hospital officials are discussing COVID-19 scare tactics. How do we scare the population? How do we make them believe they're going to die if they don't get the cocoa facts? We got to push this. Anyway, Matt McGregor with those details. Bottom line is, at the end of the hour, we talked about enough is enough. Lawmaker, he's a state representative. His name is Mike Sylvia, and he's from Belmont, New Hampshire. And he's pushing his state, that's New Hampshire, to secede from the union. He calls it secede from Biden's America. He says hundreds of examples of the federal government overstepping its authority. Bob Undra, WND.com with the article. And I get that there's trouble in the Republic. I get that it's a battle every day. I get that liberty versus tyranny is in the crosshairs, no question. I understand all that, but I would tell you, ladies and gentlemen, secession from the union is not the answer. Neither is an Article 5 con the answer. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't need to find ways to rewrite the Constitution or jettison the Constitution. You don't need to find ways to leave the greatest country on the face of the earth. What you need to do is double down and turn to God and repent. After all, if we do so, he promises us that he will heal our land and protect us. What more do you want, people? But after repenting and turning to God Almighty as individuals and families and as a nation, the next step, ladies and gentlemen, is to follow the principles that made America great. Okay, you don't need to jettison or rewrite the Constitution. What you need to do is embrace it. I believe by the precepts in the Constitution, we can preserve the nation. But it's going to take Americans in great numbers insisting on a moral reality for the nation. It's going to take us to demand the checks and balances are upheld. For example, Joe Biden trying to mandate vaccines across the country. He has no authorities in the wrong branch of government to make law. Secondly, you know what? He doesn't make law over the states in the first place. So it's all wrong. But the checks and balances could shut him down. All 50 states need to just nullify and say, we're not doing that here, buddy. Good idea, but you're whacked. We're not doing it. Not happening. Nullified. Done. Next. And if 50 states did it, if the American people insisted on it, Joe would be shut down before he ever even got the words out of his mouth. But again, it's going to take educated Americans that understand the checks and balances and have the guts to insist on the checks and balances. Congress should be jealously guarding their power and saying, Joe, you've lost your mind, sir. You're out of control. That isn't your purview. In fact, we're going to impeach you for even trying to steal our power. Don't ever, ever do that again. All right, Chris Carlson with me now. That's a recap of yesterday's broadcast. Still available at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Chris Carlson with me. Discussions of all things liberty, ladies and gentlemen. And let me pot him up there. He had a lot of background noise, so I had to pot him down because it was so loud. Anyway, Chris, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Good morning, Sam. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in that fight. Lieutenant Carlson reporting for duty, sir.
Fantastic. Welcome
and
to
Happy Constitution Day to you.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Happy Constitution Day it is. And ladies and gentlemen, it's story time. We're going to present several children's stories, ladies and gentlemen. I've been talking about the morality of the nation, and we need to hold the moral high ground, no doubt. But several children's stories will illustrate moral principles relevant to our current political environment, ladies and gentlemen. We need to kind of really realize that there's a lot of stories that are children's stories. I don't know how many of your children get to hear them in modern government school. That's a problem. But nevertheless, I digress. I'm just telling you, these stories can really make a difference in your understanding and application of the sacred principles of liberty in modern day. Chris?
Yes, sir. Simple children's stories, Sam, can teach us lessons that help alert us to the designs of conspiring men. Excuse me. And two of them are fables, Aesop's fables, the famous fable writer from Greek, I guess, 400 years B.C. in Greece. So we'll start with the goose that laid the golden eggs. Have you ever heard that one, Sam?
I've heard them all, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, I think Congress needs to hear these because they teach us lessons. They're very simple and very simple to understand. Even a child can comprehend them.
But not only are they simple, though, let's understand a couple of things about all these parables. Not only are they simple, but they're very poignant, meaning they have layers of understanding that I think we gain over time as we grow in our knowledge, as we mature into adulthood. These lessons that we learn as children really can resonate and can really be applied in multiple ways. There's not singular answers to the parables. There's interpretations, but there's lifelong experiences that drive home those lessons. We'll talk about it with Chris Carlson in seconds.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Butchman, Chris Carlson on your radio. The parable of the golden goose starts now, Chris.
Yes, sir. There was once a countryman, I assume that means a farmer, who possessed the most wonderful goose, Sam. For every day when he visited the nest, the goose had laid a beautiful glittering golden egg. Wow, wouldn't it be nice to have one of those? The countryman took the eggs to market and soon began to become rich. But it was not long before he grew impatient with the goose because she gave him only one single golden egg a day. He was not getting rich fast enough. Then one day, after he had finished counting his money, the idea came to him that he could get all the golden eggs at once by killing the goose and cutting it open. But when the deed was done, not a single golden egg did he find, and his precious goose was now dead. So what do you think that analogy or that parable, what that fable applies to today most? appropriately,
I would say greed's at the core of it. And I would say that what we really need to think about in America, ladies and gentlemen, is these congressmen and senators, those who represent us, oftentimes they're out for, you know, they come in poor as church mice, or the, you know, the average Joe. They leave very, very wealthy as kind of elitists, if you will. And what they've managed to do is, you know, cash in on enough golden eggs. But what they're doing on the altar of that is killing the goose. In other words, they're destroying the principles that allow the greatest free market in the world to work. And so that's the parable from a congressional or our leader's point of view. From the American's point of view, it's I'm going to have bread and circus. I'm going to go ahead and just watch TV. I'm going to hang out. I don't have time to go to my city council meeting. I don't have time to do anything that I need to do for freedom. Somebody else will take care of that. Don't worry. Just make sure that goose keeps laying the golden eggs every day for me, baby. But what they don't understand is the goose dies. Because you know what? An animal needs to be fed. Okay? Children need to be fed. Liberty needs to be cared for. And what we're doing is simply saying, keep laying golden eggs, but there's no care for you. And that doesn't work either. So those are two interpretations that I have, Chris, from a representative's point of view and those who serve us to us ourselves. We're greedy. We want something for nothing. We expect it all just to happen without engaging in the sacred cause of liberty. And we'll never have it because that's, you know, that's ignorance. You'll never be free with ignorance. And so it's critical that we understand it from both those perspectives, sir. Those are two interpretations.
Well, America is prosperous because we have hardworking citizens who practice thrift and self-reliance. And just like Margaret Thatcher once said, Sam, you're probably familiar with this statement, the only problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money. But it's not money, it's productivity. The more people that are on the welfare rolls, and I'm working the more the welfare rolls angle of this issue, you know, than the politicians, although that's just as bad, if not worse, because there is corporate welfare, which is... I would say probably worse than poor people welfare. But, you know, Margaret Thatcher said that the only problem with socialism is you run out of other people's money. And eventually, if we keep going down the road that we're going, if we keep allowing, and nowadays it's an estimated 1 million refugees, and most of these are third world refugees. We're getting some from Afghanistan, as you know, Sam. We're getting some crossing the southern border, which represent over 160 countries, as you probably know, not just Mexico or Guatemala or Central America. So these people are swelling the welfare rolls. You know, this is being done by design. Are you familiar with the Cloward-Piven strategy that was concocted in the 1966?
Yes, it's very diabolical. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Francis Fox Piven is a professor of political science and sociology at the Graduate Center of the City University of New York. The late Richard Cloward was a sociologist and liberal activist, and they were life partners, by the way, back when life partners were not very popular. The end goal of the Cloward-Piven strategy, Sam, is the creation of a political crisis by overwhelming the American welfare rolls. Their strategy.
By the way, Saul Alinsky talked a lot about this overwhelming every aspect of our society. So they've taken this principle from this that works, and they've basically used it everywhere now, whether it becomes overwhelming us in the media, overwhelming the welfare systems, overwhelming the political voting process. They're doing this with every aspect of our society now.
They are. Now, here's the problem. Once they get away with their scheme, which I think they're going to get very close to accomplishing, they're going to want to not blame it on socialism, because we're to the point, Sam, where I think we can call our country a socialist country. So there's so much redistribution of wealth, whether that be on the corporate level or on the poverty level, that I think most people will realize what had happened. There was too much wealth distribution, too little productivity. So they're going to have to do it in a way where they can blame the capitalist free market system. Do you agree with me? Because they're not going to want to blame it on what actually caused it, because they're going to want to continue those policies into their new world order system.
Yeah, what they're going to do is use some transitionary circumstance, such as a war or a famine or COVID. I don't know what they'll select at this time. I'm just telling you, they will create a crisis of the day that takes the blame.
Exactly. And I'm not exactly sure, what that will be. But they will hide the true cause of the economic collapse, which will most likely occur during our lifetime, Sam. I just want to warn people in advance of what's going on. And this is not something that is hidden. Most conservative pundits are familiar with the Cloward-Piven strategy. This was formulated back before the year before we were born, Sam, in 1966. So keep an eye on that. Any more we need to say about the goose that laid the golden egg? And that is America, by the way.
Yeah, the only thing I will say about that is this. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, these stories, although simple, have poignant principles to ponder. And as you relate it to your life, those who serve you, those around you, greed is at the center of that story. And greed is not God's way. Remember the story of manna in the Bible. They got what they needed every day and depended on God. And if they took too much, it rotted. Same will apply for you, ladies and gentlemen. Be grateful for what God gives you. Don't expect too much. Do your best, but understand that we've got to be very careful about what we expect to have. Don't be greedy. It serves no one well. It's about people rather than possessions. Stone Soup makes this point.
Yes, and it's not being motivated by profit. There's nothing wrong with that as long as we live within our means and don't covet somebody else's wealth.
Well, and as long as you put God first before your riches and seek for your riches to do good for those around you.
That's true. And, yep, very good point. Stone Soup, moving on to the next story. Now, this one's too long to read word for word, so I'll just give you a summary. Three hungry and tired soldiers pass through a war-torn village. This is, by the way, this is based on an old French tale. So three hungry and tired soldiers pass through a war-torn village. Embittered and suspicious from the war, the people hide their food and close their windows tight. That is, until the clever stranger suggests making a soup from stones. Have you ever tried to make soup from stones, Sam?
Good luck.
Good luck, right. Intrigued by the idea, everybody brings what they have, like, food, onions, potatoes, carrots. They, I'll contribute a little to this because it looks like I'm going to get a free meal. Have you ever heard that before? Getting something for free? Until together they have made a feast fit for a king. Okay, and this goes back to 1947. I think it was an American author, Marsha Brown. Okay, so the deception behind this story, Sam, is that these three travelers going through this war-torn village promised the villagers that they would give them something if they would just contribute a little to the cause, a few carrots, a few onions, a few potatoes. But what they were doing is they were deceiving the people of the village into thinking that the three travelers were actually contributing the lion's share to the cause of the meal, which in fact they weren't. They were putting rocks in water and saying, this is soup. Okay? So the moral of the story is, and I'm going to transition now to modern day politics, is the government can only give you what you first have given them. And that's the grand deception. We need to realize. And not only can they not give you anything until you have given them, and it may be your neighbor who's giving whatever, but whatever you give to the government, you get back only a small portion of what you have contributed. So it is not a net zero game. You're losing through the inefficiencies of government.
And that's why Chris Bastier's The Law taught the only thing we put on the altar of government is that which is necessary to maximize freedom and nothing more. And when we put more than maximizing freedom's sacred cause, we create moral hazard, ladies and gentlemen. Understand that principle. The other flaw in the Stone Soup parable is that these people have some authority to organize everyone and provide the leadership. What they provided was a leadership with good intentions down a primrose path that was dishonest and immoral. Hang tight.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The family of missing YouTuber Gabby Petito has called on the family of her fiancé, Brian Laundrie, to help them find their daughter. Traveling cross-country as a couple, their journey was documented on social media. Now Gabby is missing. The fiancé is in hiding in his parents' home in Florida after returning with Gabby's van and no Gabby. Representative Anthony Gonzalez, one of 10 Republicans who tried to impeach former President Trump for inciting the January 6th riot on the Capitol, will not seek re-election to his Northern Ohio seat in 2022. In a statement, he said, "The best path for our family is not to seek re-election next fall." A grand jury has returned an indictment against Michael Sussman, a lawyer for Hillary Clinton. The complaint says he lied to the FBI. The Russia collusion case against President Trump was used by Democrats for years, allegedly based on a dossier. The FBI's investigation concluded that there was insufficient evidence of a secret communication channel with the Trump Organization and Russian operatives. USA Radio News.
Nielsen says more than 30 million Americans are now tuning in to Newsmax TV. It's one of the biggest media stories. Newsmax is available on all major cable systems. And if you cut the cord and don't get cable, you can still get Newsmax. Find it on your smart TVs like Samsung, LG, and more. Just go to your smart TV channel guide or download the free Newsmax app. Newsmax also streams free on Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, or TiVo. And 7 million people have the Newsmax app on their smartphone. It takes seconds to download it on your phone, and there's no paywall or subscription. So watch Newsmax for breaking news anytime, anywhere. President Trump says Newsmax is really good, and Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. Find out why tens of millions of Americans are watching Newsmax TV and going to Newsmax.com for breaking news. It's a source you can trust. Newsmax is real news for real people.
Dog racing tracks around the country are disappearing. Chris Barnes reports.
Dog racing has been in some American states for over 100 years, but its popularity really peaked in 1985. In the years that have followed, state laws have led to the closure of racetracks all across the country. And now, after Florida's tracks closed at the end of 2020, Iowa and Arkansas's tracks are going to be closing by the end of next year. The one in Dubuque, Iowa, making that official with an announcement on Thursday. The GM saying there were signs of the industry's collapse now for years.
The DRA, for example, provided $1 million a year for 7 years for greyhound racing to go away because it cost more than that to subsidize the prizes that were awarded the greyhounds that won the race.
It means only two active commercial dog race tracks will still be in existence, and they're both in West Virginia. In the New England Bureau of USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
We are USA Radio News.
Gentlemen, we're talking about parables and how they apply to the current political landscape in which we live. Ladies and gentlemen, the stone soup parable really is poignant because it's one of the most base needs that we all have, which is food. And I submit to you that they're going to get there. When there becomes a famine, they're going to get there, and they're going to play games with us and get us to trade some of the most dear things we have, and they're going to give a stone in return. Nothing of value, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, the betrayal will be evident. And they've done that with vaccines now, too. Now I'm reading that doctors are saying there's a 20 times increased likelihood of cancer after you've taken the COVID vaccine. Anyway, that's not something I want to dig into right this second, but I'm just telling you, they're giving you stones of soup. How do you like that? Does it fill your belly, or is it a betrayal? Chris?
So if I could just put one more fine point on that. The fact of the matter, Sam, is that when the government gives handouts to needy people, they must first take more than they give from the productive sector of society. The result is that the recipient receives less than is taken from the productive class, resulting in a net loss of wealth in the overall economy. So, and we don't understand that, and that's simple economics. We should be taught that. We should be taught that at the seventh grade level.
We are taught that. A lot of people understand a lot of this. They're just afraid to say something. The Emperor's New Clothes makes that point very poignant.
Oh, boy. Yeah, this is the granddaddy of them all. And most people are familiar with the story. It is popular among conservative talk show hosts. If you're not familiar with it, then you probably haven't been listening to too many talk show hosts lately. You've probably used this as an analogy in your commentary, Sam. It's let's just read a summary real quick. It's written by the Danish famous author Hans Christian Andersen. I'm sure most people in your audience have heard of him. In 1837, so this thing has withstood the test of time. It's about two swindlers who arrive at the capital city of an emperor who spends lavishly on clothing at the expense of the state of state matters. Posing as weavers, they offer to supply him with magnificent clothes that are invisible to those who are stupid or incompetent. The emperor hires them, and they set up looms to go to work. A succession of officials, and then the emperor himself, visit them to check their progress. Each sees that the looms are empty, but pretends otherwise to avoid being thought a fool. Finally, the weavers report that the emperor's suit is finished. They mime dressing him and he sets off in a procession before the whole city. The townsfolk uncomfortably go along with the pretense, not wanting to appear inept or stupid, until a little child blurts out that the emperor is wearing nothing at all. The people then realize that everybody has been fooled. Although startled, the emperor continues the procession, walking more proudly than ever. So that's the summary of that story. And I think oftentimes we put trust in emperors, if you will, or politicians, national leaders, who claim to be doing or want to do everything that we want them to do. And then when we discover that it was more hype than reality, Sam, we continue to perpetuate the charade that he is, in fact, doing what he promised. And I would think that the poster child for that, and I know I'm going to ruffle some feathers and offend some people here, would be President Donald Trump. And I've got a whole list of reasons why I feel that way. Did you want to comment on that before I go through those lists of reasons?
Well, I want to comment on this issue about the clothes. And, you know, you could say that, Sam, that's an absurd example. Nobody would not mention if he was, you know, the clothes. Somebody would speak up. Come on. And you think that, but you also ask yourself how the Germans let happen to them what happened to them. And then you kind of say, you know, with COVID right now, whether you agree with the COVID shots or not, whether you agree that it's a devastating disease or not, that isn't the point. The point is this idea that we're going to mandate vaccinations for everyone. We're going to literally put an experimental vaccine in everyone's arm, whether you agree or not. We're going to take away your personal autonomy, your personal agency, your personal choice to choose as you think best. We all know better than that, but most folks don't have the guts to say, hey, there's no clothes with this. We're not doing that. And I think that's at the core of this parable. It sounds absurd a little bit, but when you dig into it and apply it to more common examples, you know, for example, most people know that, A, their government schools aren't doing very well, but who really calls a halt to the con game and takes their children out? Who really, okay, and what we seem to do is just not be willing to stand up. Well, my job might be on the line. Well, it's, I've been told as a kid not to talk about politics or religion, or, you know what, let's leave that to somebody else. It's kind of uncomfortable, et cetera, et cetera. Or, you know, this is kind of the where the rubber meets the road with this parable a little bit. But be quick about Trump, because we got a lot of things to cover.
Listen, really quick. Donald Trump did the following. He increased our trade deficit with China, in spite of the rhetoric up to the contrary. Number two, he increased the size of the federal government. That is mathematically documentable. Number three, increased the national debt more. And listen to this, because this is a distinction I think people really need to wrap their heads around. In 4 short years, Sam, he increased our national debt more than all presidents combined for the first 200 years of our nation's existence. And that is mathematically documentable. He passed the largest stimulus wealth redistribution package in the history of the nation. He did not get us out of the Paris Accords until 78 days before his departure from office. Number six, he issued a national emergency declaration which allowed the federal government to redistribute $50 billion to the state. Number seven, he bailed out the state of California, which was over $50 billion in debt at the time. Thank you, Donald Trump, for bailing out a socialist state.
And he even argued before he did it against it, showing how he knows it's problematic.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah, that makes him even more culpable, doesn't it? Because he admitted that he knew what he was doing. He had his hand in the cookie jar. Anyway. Number eight, protected the abortion industry in violation of the 5th and 14th Amendments of the Constitution. We could go on and on about that one, but I won't. Nine, he failed to repeal the ongoing invasion on our southern border with military might. Yeah, he built like 400 miles worth of fence, but he should have, in the meantime, stationed troops so that, you know, while he was building the wall, it would have mitigated the problem for the time being. Okay, number 10, he failed to release state lands unconstitutionally being held by the federal government. Number 11, he protected the criminal, Federal Reserve System, the IRS, Department of Education, the EPA, and dozens of other unconstitutional federal agencies. And finally, and this is not the entire list, we could go on and on, he criticized the mainstream media, but Sam, he never suggested alternatives such as LouRockwell.com, such as LibertyNewsRadio.com, World Affairs Brief, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and I'm going to add a 13th for a baker's dozen on this one. He pushed a lot for pro-life, and you got to give him a lot of credit. He was more of a pro-life president than any president in U.S. history that I know of. Now, it's hard to kind of compare yesteryear presidents because we didn't have murder in America back when they were president. But in modern-day presidencies, he has been the most pro-life, and I commend him for that. But he could have pushed a lot harder and done a lot more and made it criminal across the nation by executive order. If Joe Biden can force me to take a jab, certainly Donald Trump could say, don't murder babies or you're going to be accountable for murder. Okay, but he didn't go far enough on that one either. So I appreciate the pro-life, but let's get it done, people. People are dying every day, right?
Yeah, talk about a holocaust. We have a holocaust of the unborn in this nation. But and we will be held to account.
But speaking of the parables, the interesting thing about Trump is the next one we have is the rattlesnake parable. And believe it or not, Donald Trump, right when he became president or while he was on the campaign trail, I can't remember which, he literally told this story around the country.
Yes, which is extremely ironic because, you know, he is the rattlesnake in a sense. And I hate to do that to your audience. I know people are cringing and gritting their teeth at this time. Yes, the farmer and the snake. This is actually an Aesop's fable, and there are various and sundry versions of this. We could talk about the one where the Indian goes on the top of the mountain or whatever. But this is the original one from Aesop's fable. A farmer walked through his field one cold winter morning. On the ground lay a snake, stiff and frozen with the cold. The farmer knew how deadly the snake could be, and yet he picked it up and put it into his bosom to warm it back to life. The snake soon revived, and when it had enough strength, the snake bit the man who had been so kind to it. The bite was deadly, and the farmer felt that he must die. As he drew his last breath, he said to those standing around, "Learn from my fate not to take pity," and I added, "or trust on a scoundrel." So that's that version of the story as written over 2,000 years ago by Aesop.
And there's a lot of versions, but here's the point that I want to make about this. I know you think Trump's the snake. I would submit to you that the deep state is the snake. And although Trump thought he was wise by telling the story, Trump danced with the deep state. Trump picked up the deep state snake. And the deep state snake literally betrayed Trump. And you can see how he got courted by them. The media promoted him. Even though they acted like they hate him, they got him so much coverage, he got elected. But then what the deep state did was bit him. They ran him out on a rail and said he's the greatest insurrectionist in the world. Equivalent to the bite. I think Trump got bit by the deep state is what I think. And the deep state is the snake in this parable, in my summation. Quick pause. Chris Carlson, Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com, AmericaFirst.com.
All right, Sam Bushman and Chris Carlson breaking it down just for you. All right, our final anecdote, if you will, is a story about grapes, Chris.
Yeah, well, we can do that, or we can go into the interpretation of the farmer and the snake.
Go ahead.
Whichever you prefer.
Go ahead, sir. Well, farmer and the snake.
Well, first of all, I'd like to make some commentary on what you said about Mr. Trump. He allowed the deep state to lead him along.
Yes, he did.
And that was the result, you know, why he didn't accomplish hardly anything. Well, of course, with the state of Israel, he accomplished everything that he promised. But that's a different story. But I do believe, in, as you know, and, you know, reasonable people can disagree on things. I do believe that Donald Trump was deeply invested in the deep state. He was actually part of it. So that's my commentary there. And, you know, we can disagree, and I may be wrong. I may discover someday that I was wrong.
And I don't know that. I'm not debating that you're wrong. All I'm saying is that I want to give somebody the benefit of the doubt somewhere. I want to believe and have some hope in something. And I want to embrace all the good that is done based on principle. Because if you don't, there's nowhere to go but negativity. There's nowhere to go but absolute despair. Okay, so if you say everybody's involved in the deep state and we're cooked and there's no hope, right, then you're just done. And so I'm saying that when Donald Trump stood for pro-life, he didn't get enough done. I'll be honest about it. But he got more done than any other president in modern day since Roe versus Wade, since the murder and slaughter of young babies amongst us, King Herod style, if you will, almost, is commencing. He's done more to stop it than any other president. So there needs to be some credit given for that kind of stuff. He's brought out that the media is a problem. Did he lead people completely to the answers? No, he didn't. But he did more than any other president to expose the fraudulent media for who they are. So, see, there's got to be some credit there for some of those things, even though he didn't do enough, or even though, you know, you can find flaws in what he did. He certainly did a lot of things that are negative. But I also kind of look at it like blaming Lincoln for all the problems. The Southerners blame Lincoln for everything as if a single man can control everything. I'm not so sure how much a single man has control to an infinite degree anyway. So anyway, there's some issues there to be considered.
And if I could use another analogy really quick, Sam, if you want to get rid of dandelions in your yard, you know, you got to go out there with a shovel and dig them out by the roots. The issue that I have with Mr. Trump is he was not addressing the problem at the root of the problem, which I would say most importantly would probably be the Federal Reserve System, because that then gives the deep state an unlimited amount of funds with which to overthrow our constitutional republic. And he never addressed that problem either. He didn't know.
Well, he did speak out about the Federal Reserve being a problem. He just did nothing about it.
Yeah, and it would have been so easy. And anyway, I don't want to get too far off.
Well, JFK got murdered for trying that, though, so I don't know.
Okay, well, JFK
tried to create the $2 bill, which was a United States note, not a Federal Reserve note, and they literally killed him for it. So, you know, again, well, you know, it's easy to play quarterback. But I would say this, the poignant parable, the most important part about this in my mind is, hey, this rattlesnake parable is very important, folks. You know what? You don't dance with the devil if you don't want to get stung. That's okay. For sure.
And with the video I sent you, do you want to play that?
All right, so you're all over the map. We got to stick with something that makes sense for people. So we just finished the snake story. Do you want to skip the grape story?
Yeah, for the time being. So all right. There's something very important in connection with the snake story that I want to talk about.
All right,
about.
So here's what happens, ladies and gentlemen. I have a bunch of stories that Chris sends me that he wants to cover, and I'm just not sure which ones he wants to change his mind on in the instant that he changes his mind, right? So now we want to talk about Israeli loyalty pledge. So you got to set the stage, then I'll play your clip.
Okay. So I'm going to read word for word so I don't miss anything on this one. So the interpretation of the snake story, Sam, is this. The people who we send to Congress do not really represent us or our interests. On May 22nd, 2011, Cynthia McKinney, a lot of people may recognize that name, Cynthia McKinney claimed that the Israeli lobby is the most powerful special interest group in Washington, D.C. And she said, if you don't sign the pledge, you don't get money. She also went on to say, that there was a person willing to sponsor her fund. So she was a one-term congresswoman in the House of Representatives. And after her first term, she needed money, obviously, in her district, which is Stone Mountain, Georgia, to become reelected. So somebody called. She doesn't say who this is. She said there was a person willing to sponsor a fundraiser for my campaign in Stone Mountain, Georgia. After 2 or 3 weeks, this fundraiser asked Congresswoman McKinney if she had signed, quote, the pledge, unquote. She had not. The pledge was a loyalty pledge to the state of Israel because she had not signed this treasonous pledge, her campaign funds dried up. Now, this would be a good segue into the video.
Just so everybody knows, it's not a video for us. It's an audio clip. You're on the radio. There's no video. Okay, so people need to understand that. We're playing an audio clip of Cynthia McKinney?
Yep, Cynthia McKinney.
She's being interviewed, and she's talking about her time in Congress.
And there's no more special interest that has any more influence than the pro-Israel lobby. And so then when I did outreach, for example, to the Muslim community in the United States, I bumped into the pro-Israel lobby, which, of course, does not want to have to contend with a politicized Muslim community, which is as large as and is as wealthy as the pro-Israel lobby is in the United States. So, yes, I first-handedly and also frontally was assaulted by the presence of the pro-Israel lobby to such an extent.
Physically assaulted?
Well, politically assaulted.
Okay.
To such an extent that my father had to ask the question publicly, what does Stone Mountain, Georgia have to do with Israel? What I was doing was servicing the needs of my constituents. And I was not allowed to do that because I did not toe the line on U.S. policy for Israel.
What line is that they wanted? Were you told directly that you had to toe a line, or explain that to me?
Well, every candidate for Congress at that time had a pledge. They were given a pledge to sign. And I was new on the scene, and so the pledge had Jerusalem as the capital city, the military superiority of Israel.
American Congress people have to sign this pledge.
Yes, you sign the pledge. If you don't sign the pledge, you don't get money. So, for example, it was almost like water torture for me. My parents observed this. I would get a call, and the person on the other end of the phone would say, I want to do a fundraiser for you. And then we would get into the planning. I would get really excited because, of course, you have to have money in order to run a campaign. And then 2 weeks, 3 weeks into the planning, they would say, did you sign the pledge? And then I would say, no, I didn't sign the pledge. And then my fundraiser would go kaput. I made it public
This probably nobody had said anything about it, but I made it public. And then, you know, the excuse was, well, you know, those were just overzealous advocates for Israel. So then the tactic changed. And but this is what is done for 535 members of the United States Congress. 100 senators, 435 members of the House of Representatives have to now write a paragraph, which basically says the same thing. So it's not a pledge, but it's a paragraph, and you post it, and, you know, there are these forums you have to go to at the synagogues or whatever. And then, you know, if you don't perform appropriately, then you don't get money to run your campaign. The problem is that it requires an awful lot of money to run a campaign. And whether it's a woman's organization, an environmental organization, people can read about this on the internet if they're interested. If you go to thomas.loc.gov, that is the official United States Congress website. And if you put in the name Gus Savage, because Gus Savage was a black member of Congress who was targeted by the pro-Israel lobby. And he had the foresight to use his position as an incumbent in the House of Representatives to put his experience on the congressional record for the entire existence of the United States Congress. Now, people will be able to access his experience. And what he wrote was that it was the Garden Club of New Jersey that gave his opponent $5,000. But it wasn't really the Garden Club of New Jersey. It was the activists who were associated with AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Cynthia McKinney basically saying, hey, you got to sign a support Israel pledge. Now, is there a law that you have to support an Israel pledge? No, but they just force you, back you into it. And like the emperor's clothes, nobody's got the guts to say anything except for Cynthia did. Chris?
Well, they're making too much money. And they're guaranteeing that during their next election, they will have their election coffers flush with cash. So, of course, they're not going to open their mouths because, you know, most politicians, as you know, Sam, are, I'm not going to use the word sociopathic because not all of them are, but they are narcissists. I will say that. They are self-interested, just like everybody else is, apparently so much so that their morality or their sense of loyalty to America First is overridden by their desires to become reelected and continue a lifestyle that most of us would only dream about, Sam. And the Israel lobby, which, as Cynthia McKinney says, is very powerful in Washington, D.C., knows that. They know how to stroke these Congress people so that they can control them, and most will go along. And she was an exception to the rule, and thanks for her. And she ran, but, well, of course, she didn't get reelected the second time she ran for Congress, which should tell you how powerful this lobby is. So do you think that it's appropriate that we have a lobby so powerful that it can either make or break your campaign by giving or withdrawing campaign funds when you need them the most, Sam?
Well, it certainly is vote election manipulation, to say the least. And so when they say there's no vote fraud, Cynthia McKinney bears strong testimony against those lies. It's direct campaign manipulation, election manipulation, to say the least. The problem with it, ladies and gentlemen, is we have our free speech rights. We have our free association rights. And even though there's no forced signing of Israel law, there is a browbeating to get that done to the point of people lose their agency and lose their liberty. And that's what we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully these stories illustrate how poignant the discussions really are. And these layers to these parables really help us understand and contemplate not only the problems, but what we must do to resolve them. This is Solutions Radio. Final word to you, Chris.
Yes, sir. Without God, we can never win, Sam. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we do need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving Americans everywhere, continuing our duty, sir.
And ladies and gentlemen, maybe someday Chris will tell you the grapes story, okay? Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Ladies and gentlemen, save that for next week. We'll do it. Chris Carlson and Sam Bushman, we declare God save the Republic of the United States of America. Happy Constitution Day.